Hi there, I'm Paul Draper. I'm a cultural anthropologist, but also a full-time traveling magician, mentalist, and entertainer, performed all over America and Europe, and I'm excited to sit down and talk with you. Adelaide Herman was a huge star on the American stage.
And that's amazing to me that we don't remember her. No one that I've talked to when I bring this up has ever heard of her.
Right.
Why isn't she known with the other great magicians that we talked
about? And the truth is she's not even well known among magicians. And this is something that is devastatingly sad. She's at the largest convention of magicians in the world at that time, called the IBM, the International Brotherhood of Magicians,
right.
which still is one of the largest organizations of magicians in the world, the International Brotherhood of Magicians. So this is a constant problem, is how difficult it is for a woman to become a magician, how difficult it is for her to stay in the world of magic, and all the problems that she will face along that journey. She danced in the show for a very long time.
Because she started as a ballet dancer.
She started as a dancer, right. She eventually hired women dancers. And it's interesting because I know some women magicians today that feel very strongly, never hire someone more beautiful than you to be on stage, no matter your age. But she didn't have that fear of that.
Right.
And so she hired dancers, and she made all the dancers vanish, and in a puff of smoke, Satan appeared on stage. And even today, it is very difficult for women to be taken seriously in the field of magic. And it's very difficult for them to break into it. Is it okay if I talk about
yes,
that for a moment? When a man goes to join the International Brotherhood of Magicians or the Society of American Magicians or the Magic Circle, they go into a room that is 99% to 100% men. If a woman shows up into that room, immediately everyone in that room assumes, oh, you're an assistant. Oh, you're here to learn. You want to find a magician to assist.
Right.
Well, maybe you should assist a magician for a while before you do your own act. And think of how often she is hit on and how often she is seen as a sexual conquest or sexual object as opposed to a person.
Right.
And this is not something a young man that comes to that magic club has to face. He will instantly be given a deck of cards and a book and training. And here, why don't you do a piece in the show as your own magician, right? Here's your own top hat and wand, son. Move forth, right? The woman who wants to be a magician has to overcome all of that social pressure in order to learn the secrets of magic, in order to grow in the art. And as she goes through her journey of mentorship, how often is that mentorship skewed or confused by the individual who is trying to maybe see her as something else? And I've seen this happen over and over again. There's even an award, the International Magician Society has an award for Female Magician of the Year. Now, I won the Merlin Award for top corporate magician in the world. But most female magicians, they are only up for top female magician. That's all they tend to win. And so this is the Magic Castle in Hollywood. I love to perform there. They, for 3 years, had a Women in Magic Week, where that week, all the performers on stage were women. And they felt, okay, we're good. We don't need to book women the rest of the year. We have them in their own week.
You had your week? What do you want? What, women?
You know, the rest of the year, it's 9 male magicians, right? And so hopefully that will eventually get better. There are now a few women that are on the board of directors and the board of trustees. And I'm hoping there will start to be a shift in that. A magician has so many characters as a male that they can play.
Right.
But a female magician seems to be pigeonholed as pixie fairy or witch hag. And there's so much more magic that can come from an entire gender, from half the Earth's population, than just pixie fairy witch hag.
Right.
Even today, I mean, talking about Adelaide Herman's day, in that time period where the face of magic is Mr. Uber masculine Harry Houdini, right? He's the face of magic, naked, vulnerable, chained up naked, and then overcomes adversity and breaks from the chains, right? He is both vulnerable and strong. David Copperfield, in our day, or maybe 20 years ago, he was also both vulnerable and strong in that he would put himself in the box, cut himself in half, and bring himself back to life. But to be a woman in magic who is able to be strong, is able to be the face and the dominant force, it's difficult today. Let alone then. It's really sad that magicians, because again, such a male-dominated art, they have posters of famous magicians who look like them. They do illusions of famous magicians who look like them. And there has not been, there's not been many huge international celebrity women magicians who have been able to hearken back. Today, there are many great female magicians working around the world, but still not given the level of respect, and certainly not performing as many times or as often as she was in her day. The great, out of Chicago, there's a wonderful bar magician named Kayla Drescher. In Malibu, Kristen Lambert is an illusionist who toured with Chris Angel in his show as her own magician. So again, we are starting to see great women magician have a voice and have their own place on the poster. We don't see a great passing of the baton at the end of her life when she's 79. And unlike at her husband's funeral, where they say thousands showed up, so many that they couldn't get to the coffin, at her funeral, it the newspapers say it was reasonably sparse. It was show members from the cast, family members, and this. And even though she had been a big success on the stage, there's something that comes from dying young. You know, if you're Elvis Presley or Marilyn Monroe or Michael Jackson or Houdini, and you die young, and people say, "Oh, if only they would have lived, what could they have done?" Versus dying at 79, people don't have the same reaction. I mean, we have this mystical vision of they died as they were rising. They died as they were. Where she never stopped. She kept working and kept performing. But there was no, if only she would have lived to 87.
Right.
What could she have done? And that's too bad that we don't celebrate people who make it to the end.
Right.
In the same way that we celebrate people who die halfway through.
We'll put some images on the website. There are some fabulous posters.
Really
amazing, great art.
We have to remember, magicians today create a 30-second television commercial.
Right.
But back then, the only way that you get someone to see your show is to have a giant poster plastered on the side of a building that people can see and say, "I'm willing to dedicate my evening and a week's income in order to go see that because of this single image of the woman in the electric chair or with the decapitated, her own, holding her own decapitated head, or even ending her own show with the now questionable Japanese act."
Oh, yes. Ah, the casual racism.
It was very, the turn of the century. It was very popular then to have a Japanese act, a Egyptian act, to have your boxes with random Chinese characters.
Right.
Magic from the Far East.
Well, that's where magic always comes from.
The ancient Chinese linking rings.
Exactly.
Invented in the 1800s in England. There was a magician that came to America named Cheng Ling Fu. And there was an American magician after the Cheng Ling Fu was a huge success. And after he came to America, there was an American magician named William Robinson who said, Well, I can do that. And he created the character Cheng Ling Su.
Yeah.
And he dressed himself as if he was Chinese. And he actually hired someone who was Chinese to translate for him. And so when the media would interview him, he would talk gibberish. And his assistant would then say, oh, he say.
Wow.
Right? And do this. And not until Cheng Ling Su, who also performed the bullet catch and died on stage performing the bullet catch, not until he was taken to the hospital did people know that he was actually a white man, even much of his own cast that traveled with him.
Wow.